Going on, guys, I'm back to talk about all the political crazy going on, so let's get at it. Politics presented by Bad News Media. It is July 12th, and you really just can't take a day off. I didn't record Tuesday. The goal was to start to get on a new recording schedule, so going forward, I'm going to start to record on Monday and Wednesday nights, so look for late releases Monday, potentially early Tuesday, late Wednesday, early Thursday, because we are launching our new podcast, Trophy Kids. It's a sports commentary podcast in a couple weeks, so been doing a lot of preparation for that, which is one of the reasons I didn't record earlier this week. So a little housekeeping there. Keep up to date with us at badnews_media on Twitter, and obviously follow the website, badnewsmedia.com, to keep up to date with all that's going on here. I got other exciting news in. Hopefully soon we'll be introducing one of our new contributors to the website. So a lot of good stuff going on. But let's get right into it, because today we saw what many would describe as the two fractions within American politics dueling it out over Peter Strzok, who is the famous FBI agent who has had his text messages between him and his mistress exposed to the world. So Congress held their oversight hearings today. Only a crazy person would watch the whole thing. I do not fit into that category because I watched just about all of it, but not all of it yet. And it was as you would expect. All the partisan hacks were just acting ridiculous, which, by the way, don't know if you noticed this, probably the real MVP of this was the FBI lawyer that was sitting to Peter Strzok's left. His facial expressions was every sane American who follows the political process closely, or even really not that closely, but has a healthy diet of good media. It was just fantastic to watch. So if you see clips of the Oversight Committee hearing today, take a look at him, because it was pretty funny. So let's talk about it and kind of what went on. As stated before, it was a scene out of all the ridiculousness. I mean, you had Republicans who were doing their best to make sure they get on Sean Hannity tonight, and making just bold and really just asinine assertions into Mr. Peter. This is all ridiculous because, look, we can all agree that the FBI or any agencies, CIA, FBI, Department of Justice, all of these groups, the NSA, there has to be an oversight component to them. There have to be internal safeguards to make sure that political bias doesn't seep into the work that employees at those organizations, it doesn't affect their work. So when the text messages between Peter Strzok and his mistress, who also worked at the Bureau, became public knowledge and knowledge within the Bureau and to members of oversight committees, it obviously raises red flags, as it should. I mean, he shows a real disdain for people that he is actively involved in investigating. That is President Trump and his campaign, Hillary Clinton and her associates. He played big roles in these investigations. So, of course, there should have been an investigation into whether his personal bias influenced his work on those investigations. And there has been. There's been an IG report that could not establish that political bias did affect his work. Now, he obviously had political bias, it found, but it didn't, there was no conclusion that it affected his investigation work. There was Robert Mueller took him off the team 6 months before anybody was aware of these text messages, because as soon as he found out about these text messages, he removed him, which was proper to do. There, the safeguards that were in place to investigate and determine if the political bias seeped into his work all worked as they should. It shows that these government agencies, these oversight mechanisms, are working properly. What this hearing today was a complete sideshow and quite honestly just disgusting display of partisan hackery and who can court the attention of the conservative media and Fox News and Hannity, who can court the attention of Donald Trump, who can say the loudest, most asinine statements and really attack him personally. But Peter Strzok did a beautiful job in keeping calm, delivering a great message, clarifying his point, and he blows up the entire argument. Because really what the argument boils down to is Republicans are making this case that because he holds personal political beliefs or personal beliefs about individuals, he should not be able to work in a capacity where he may be investigating those individuals and do his job effectively. And that is not something we hold anybody accountable to. We're going to get to Brett Kavanaugh's appointment, but we're not sitting here going, because Brett Kavanaugh was a political operative in the Republican Party for years, he can't sit on the Supreme Court. No, because we allow people to have opinions. And what we ask, though, and what we require is that when they take on official capacity, whether it's being an FBI agent, being a Supreme Court justice, being a representative who represents the district of both conservatives and Democrats, being a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it may be, a judge, that they check their opinions and biases at the door and they go in and do their job and not let those affect them. We're human beings. We're allowed to have that. If we follow this logic through that the Republicans are trying to push forward, it would state basically that only people that view the person they're investigating favorably investigate them, because there's nobody who's going to be truly objective. We all have opinions before things, but you have to let the facts lead you to a conclusion. You have to let the investigation lead you to the conclusion. And Peter Strzok blows up the entire argument, though, because the conspiracy is that because of his personal bias, he couldn't perform his job in investigating Trump. But here is the fact, and it is the biggest fact out there that makes the whole Republican argument around this basically explode. And it is as Peter Strzok said. And he said that in the fall of 2016, I had info that could derail and quite possibly defeat Mr. Trump. But the thought of exposing that information never crossed my mind. This investigation is not politically motivated. It is not a witch hunt. It is not a hoax. The fact remains that the FBI disclosed information about an investigation into Hillary Clinton associates and Hillary Clinton herself that derailed her political campaign. We can't quantify the effects it had, but we can say for certainty that it had an effect, and the FBI did disclose that. And at the same time, people like Peter and other individuals in the FBI concealed an investigation into Trump associates, the Trump campaign, Russia interference, and did not tell the public about it until after the election. That's when we started learning about this. So if Peter truly had political bias and was out to get Trump, as the Republicans are trying to persuade the nation into thinking, why did he then not leak information? Why did the AG come back and say that they could not conclude that Peter Strzok bias didn't influence his work? It's because it didn't influence his work. That's it. Point, stop. And at the end, I'm going to play two sound bits that I think sum up this whole hearing today perfectly. So check out the end. You won't be disappointed. But we want to move on. I want to move on to the most important and pressing news of the week, I think, by far. And that is the nomination of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Supreme Court justices, you could make the argument, the nomination of a Supreme Court justice is quite possibly the most important thing in our democracy. They are not an elected position, but we elect the people that appoint them, and then they can potentially sit on the bench for decades, making rulings that will have huge implications for the direction of this country. Brett Kavanaugh is somebody who is known throughout the political landscape. He made a name for himself in the Ken Starr investigation into Bill Clinton. And one of the points that's being made about Brett Kavanaugh is that while he very much was into the investigation into a president at the time, when he entered into the executive branch as a member of the Bush administration, he changed his opinion. And this is where it becomes very obvious one of the reasons Donald Trump picked him. Because Brett Kavanaugh is the only Supreme Court justice that was on a list produced by the Republican mechanism that has appointed judges for years now to do their bidding. The Federalist Society put out this list. A Heritage Fund supports it. These think tanks presented this. Basically, corporate Republicanism brought this list to Donald Trump's doorstep. But the only person on the list that had explicit views on investigations into the president was Brett Kavanaugh. He believes that a president should not be subject to really even an investigation while president. Basically, the president is above the law, to sum it up, is his belief, and that Congress should create a law stating that a president shouldn't really be subject to an investigation. That is his belief, personal belief. Now, he has also stated, to be fair, that there is no citing in law that can make a president not comply with an investigation. But here's the fun thing about Supreme Court justices, and this is what I'm sure his answer will look like when it comes to Roe. At the appellate level, they are subject to precedent, legal precedent. But as a Supreme Court justice, you are free to vote to overturn any past ruling and set legal precedent. So there has not been a case like the one that could end up coming in front of the Supreme Court involving Donald Trump, the president, where they are looking to overturn an impeachment or him ignoring a subpoena or whatever it may be that comes with this investigation. And Brett Kavanaugh could end up being the swing vote that determines that he doesn't have to comply with any of this because that is his personal belief. Now, as we said before, you are allowed to have personal beliefs, but you have to check those at the door. So people should really prod at him in his hearings as to whether that personal belief means, as a judge, how he would vote as a Supreme Court justice. Here's the other thing. He is not good in any form for anybody who believes that women should have the right to choose, that believes in universal health care and Obamacare, who believes that a president is not above the law and should be subject to investigation if they potentially broke the law. He is not a champion of workers. He's a champion of corporations. He believes things like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is unconstitutional. He is in no way, shape, or form a good pick for anybody who doesn't believe in the views of basically the Koch brothers. If you find yourself siding on the side of complete deregulation of financial sectors, environmental sectors, if you believe in workers not to have the right to unionize, if you believe that universal health care is unconstitutional and that a president shouldn't is not obligated to uphold the ACA, even if it is deemed as constitutional, as Brett Kavanaugh does and wrote about, this is not good. Because here's what we know right now about Brett Kavanaugh on things like Roe v. Wade. He doesn't have a huge paper trail on this matter. It is a very hot topic right now, as it should be, because Roe v. Wade, you could make the argument, right now represents a bedrock of freedom, and that is the freedom for women to have a choice in their reproductive health. Brett Kavanaugh has a very long paper trail on lots of things. He has over 300 opinions written as a judge. He has worked in Republican politics for decades. He was in the Bush administration for 5 years, and Democrats should ask and demand that all of his emails are released, just as they have in the past for Supreme Court justices like Kagan. And those should be examined, because I'm sure we're going to find lots of interesting things in those. Things like privacy, what his views were on the Iraq War, all of the controversial things that came up in the Bush administration. But on Roe v. Wade, this is what we got so far. In a 2015 case, he voted in favor of not mandating that contraceptives be provided as part of ACA. He also ruled against an undocumented pregnant minor in having non-delayed access to an abortion. So he was in the minority of judges on that appellate decision and voted against giving this minor access to an abortion. He also, just recently, as reported by the LA Times, praised a Judge Rehnquist opinion when he dissented from the court's 7-2 holding recognizing the constitutional right to abortion. So he gave a speech last year at a conservative think tank about the 1973 case that legalized abortion nationwide, and he praised the Chief Justice William Rehnquist for his dissent in Roe v. Wade. So we now know he believes that that is the right move to do. So we should make the assumption that he is against Roe v. Wade. That isn't a fair assumption to make, because as Donald Trump told us many times, he was going to appoint judges that would eventually overturn that. He was also put together, Kavanaugh was recommended from a list that was created by the Federalist Society, which is an ultra-conservative group, and would not put forward judges they do not believe would be favorable to them in overturning Roe v. Wade. He is not great on things like Obamacare. He argued that a president could decline to enforce a statute such as Obamacare, even if a court upholds its constitutionality, in a dissent in a 2011 case. So he doesn't believe in that, and as we know, universal health care is one of the most important issues to voters. It's right now, 1 in 5 voters say healthcare is the issue for them, according to an NBC News poll and a Wall Street poll. He believes that semi-automatic should be a constitutional right. He is quoted as saying, have not traditionally been about semi-automatics that they have not traditionally been banned and are in common use by law-abiding citizens for self-defense in the home, hunting, or other lawful uses. He voted against net neutrality. He voted against Obama-era regulations into gas. So this is not a good pick in any sense of the way. And this should not be hard for people to vote against. We are not, as a voting base, a bunch of Elmer Fudds. We cannot allow Susan Collins to treat us that way. Lisa Murkowski, if you're part of her constituency, or Democrats. So let's talk America. Because this, in American history, we often find ourselves at crossroads, points in which the country could go in many different directions. This is one of those points. This election upcoming in 2018 is going to be one of those cross sections again. But this fight over the Supreme Court justice is a crossroad that could determine the way we go for decades as a nation. Brett Kavanaugh is not a moderate. He is a Frankenstein judge that was cooked up in a conservative laboratory and is going to be placed on the bench unless we fight like hell. This is going to require a fight and an effort that we saw during the attempt to repeal Obamacare. This is going to require people that are represented by Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski to light up her switchboards every day if need be. Weekly should be your goal personally. If you can't do it daily, which is understandable, you should be calling her hopefully weekly. One of those two. If you live in district or are represented by Joe Manchin or people like Heidi Heitkamp who are in more red states, you need to make sure you are telling them that we want you to vote no on Brett Kavanaugh. He does not represent American values. He represents a minority. 2/3 of Americans do not want Roe v. Wade overturned. A minority of Americans do. And he will put us on the path to criminalizing abortion in huge parts of this country. It is up to us to fight like hell, to make this the fight before the midterm elections. This is our opportunity to stand up for the America we want. And then in November, we get to vote for representatives that get to help push us to the America we want. We have to decide as a country who we want to be. Do we want to be a country that has our representatives approve a Supreme Court nominee that stands for big corporations against the little guy? That creates an atmosphere in the government that makes it harder for Americans, not easier, to get access to health care. Do we want a government that says healthy individuals deserve more of a say in the election process than you as an individual because money speaks? These are the things that we are fighting for as a nation, and we have to continue to fight for. It is up to us to be the change. So here's your task. Call your representative. Make it the first thing you do. You can call the Capitol switchboard at 202-224-3121. Call your representative and demand a no vote on Brett Kavanaugh and to push this back until the electorate, the American people, get a say in the oversight that is going to be provided for this pick. And remember, guys, be the change.
I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, at no time in any of these texts did those personal beliefs ever enter into the realm of any action I took. Furthermore, this isn't just me sitting here telling you. You don't have to take my word for it. At every step, at every investigative decision, there are multiple layers of people above me, the assistant director, executive assistant director, deputy director, and director of the FBI, and multiple layers of people below me, section chiefs, supervisors, unit chiefs, case agents, and analysts, all of whom were involved in all of these decisions. They would not tolerate any improper behavior in me any more than I would tolerate it in them. That is who we are as the FBI. And the suggestion that I, in some dark chamber somewhere in the FBI, would somehow cast aside all of these procedures, all of these safeguards, and somehow be able to do this is astounding to me. It simply couldn't happen. And the proposition that that is going on, that it might occur anywhere in the FBI, deeply corrodes what the FBI is in American society, the effectiveness of their mission, and it is deeply destructive.
The American public might be forgiven for mistaking this so-called hearing for a Russian political show trial. It's got all the trappings: character assassination, demagoguery, connecting dots that aren't meant to be connected, generalizing from an isolated incident, cherry-picking facts, sometimes fabricating facts. It's astounding. It's a new low in the United States Congress. What a shame. But Mr. Strozek, you're under oath. And my understanding is the big Republican beef, in order to discredit you and discredit the FBI and thereby hopefully, from their point of view, undermine the Mueller investigation, hinges on the fact that you sent out some indiscreet personal emails about your political views on the then pending 2016 election. Is that correct?
Sir, that's my understanding.
All right. So you're under oath. I want you to say yes or no. The following email: character matters. Real Donald Trump is obviously not going to win, but he can still make an honorable move, step aside, and let someone else try. Did you write that email?
I don't believe I did.
No, you didn't. Republican Senator Ben Sasse wrote that email. Another unforgivable sin. He should be here as well, apparently. My wife, Julia, and I, we have a 15-year-old daughter. Do you think I can look her in the eye and tell her that I endorse Donald Trump? When he acts like this, and his apology, that was no apology. That was an apology for getting caught. I can't tell the good people of my state that I endorsed a person who acts like this. Was that you, Mr. Strozek?
No, sir.
No, it wasn't. It was Republican Jason Chaffetz, former chairman of my committee. Did you write the following? For the good of the country and to give the Republicans a chance of defeating Hillary Clinton, Mr. Trump should step aside. His defeat at this point seems almost certain. And 4 years of Hillary Clinton is not what's best for this country. Mr. Trump should put the country first and do the right thing. That's you, certainly, right?
No, sir.
No, you're right. It was Republican member of Congress Mike Kaufman from Colorado. In light of these comments, Donald Trump should step aside and allow our party to replace him with Mike Pence or another appropriate nominee. I cannot in good conscience vote for Donald Trump, and I would never vote for Hillary Clinton. That's yours.
No, sir.
No. That's Republican Barbara Comstock of our home state of Virginia. All right, well, here's another one. It's now clear Donald Trump is not fit to be president of the United States and cannot defeat Hillary Clinton. I believe he should step aside and allow Governor Pence to lead the Republican ticket. You wrote that one.
No, sir.
You didn't? No, you're right. That's Republican Bradley Byrne of Alabama. Well, how about this one? Donald Trump's behavior makes him unacceptable as a candidate for president, and I won't vote for him. As disappointed as I've been with his antics throughout this campaign, I thought supporting the nominee was the best thing for our country and our party. Now it's abundantly clear that the best thing for our country and our party is for Trump to step aside and allow responsible, respectable Republicans to lead the ticket. You wrote that one.
No, sir.
Oh, no. That was Republican Martha Roby of Alabama. Well, how about this one? I respectfully ask that you, Mr. Trump, with all due respect, step aside. Step down. Allow someone else to carry the banner of principles.
No, sir.
No, you're right again. That was Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah. So it sounds like when you were writing these emails in the heat of the campaign, you had a lot of good company on the Republican side of the aisle. And now you're an orphan. I wonder what changed. But your opinion was hardly a striking one. Hardly unusual, especially where you and I live, Northern Virginia. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So your sin of writing an email criticizing the candidate Trump and predicting he would lose was not an isolated kind of opinion. Is that correct?
No, it was not, to my knowledge.
And do you, under oath, confirm what the Inspector General, Mr. Horowitz, said? There's no evidence, your personal opinion notwithstanding, that in any way it tainted the ongoing criminal investigation led by Mr. Mueller.
I do.
That's your testimony under oath.
Yes.
I thank you. And I'm so sorry for the treatment you've received here today. As a member of Congress, as a member of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, I take no pleasure in watching this spectacle. Thank you, Mr. Strozek, for being here.